go back to chapter 19. Let's look to the Lord a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for another time of being about Thy Word, even if it's merely reading it. Many times we have too many things to say about it rather than let the Word of God speak for itself. We know that the Word of God is able to give us understanding in itself. We don't always have to have men trying to tell us what it means. And yet, many wise men that have gone before can give us insight that we don't see on the surface. Many of them know the different languages and able to take things out of it that aren't in our English translations. As we open Thy Word, we read therefrom, and we make a few comments, we just trust the Spirit of God will give each of us marvelous lessons, wondrous teachings. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. We'll just read through the chapter first, not that long. Nahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had slain the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. And as he lay and slept under the juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, Arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, that there was a cake baked on the coals, and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink, and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord or Jehovah came to him, and he said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God or Jehovah God of a host, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, Go forth, stand upon the mount before the Lord or Jehovah. Behold, the Lord or Jehovah has passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and broke it in pieces and the rocks before the Lord or Jehovah. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind an earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Behold, there came a voice unto him and said, What doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and Jehu the son of Nimshi shalt thou anoint to be king over Israel. And Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah shalt thou anoint to be prophet in thy stead. And it shall come to pass that him that escapeth the sword of Hazael and Jehu slay, shall Jehu slay, and him that escapeth the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. Yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all of the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. So he departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with a 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I shall follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. And he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. Now, as we mentioned about some this morning that happened to be, it slipped away from me again. You can remember the names I told you at the table? DJ was there. Huh? Jim Thorpe and... It came to me just like that, now it's gone. I just thought of it a few seconds ago. Jim Thorpe and Bronco Nagurski. And you see how easily they're forgotten, though. These were all Americans at the same time, even. Some remember them, some of the older ones, some of the younger ones never heard of them. And they, at one time, were on the lips of all the people that were interested in athletics. And you and I will slip away the same way if the Lord do not come. But there is one whose name hasn't slipped away, and that's our blessed Lord and Savior. May the Lord bless this reading. We just trust that we might get something from it to help us. We find that Ahab had been there when they made the contest with the prophets of Baal, 450 plus 400 other prophets, and Elijah and Almighty God. And of course, remember how that they pranced around their idol, or the altar, until noon. And then Elijah mocked them. Maybe their God was away. Maybe he was sleeping. Maybe he was deaf. But praise God, we have a God that no matter what the situation, he hears us. Whether we be in our bed, whether we be traveling or whatever, when we call or we speak, and that doesn't mean we should always be always asking. God likes to hear sometimes when things go good. That's just like the parents of the children. It's nice for the children to come and say that this made them happier, they like this, they like that, or the other thing. But the most of us have the tendency always to be asking for self. And we find that Elijah gets into a position similar to that, and we find that Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, "So let the gods do to me," gods, mind you, "and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of that one of them by tomorrow about this time." She had no idea that she was going to be eaten by dogs not too many years hence. I got a little note up here. To Jezebel, she had strong delusion, even when she had seen and learned the truth. When you see all of these prophets crying for their God to come down and consume, that's all had to do, just consume this offering. Nothing was done. Elijah, in a simple prayer, asked Almighty God, and the fire not only came down and consumed the offering, but the wood and the stones, and licked up all the water. And he made sure there was plenty of water there so that there could be no saying that it was trickery. And after all of this, she was still deluded. Let us look for a moment at Ephesians 4. Ephesians, the 4th chapter. God warns us and tells us all along about these things. That's another reason for us to be in the Word. We don't just get it in one or two places. Ephesians 4, the 18th verse. Now let's start with the 17th. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, after which God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for ye are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or upbuilding, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, so that we're not to be like those around us. And you know, it's very easy, and lots of times we speak of others, and we say and we think it's, what would the term be? Constructive criticism. And if we're not careful, it turns into something else. It turns into nothing more than gossip. And you know, an untruth takes a long, long time to correct, if it's ever corrected. That's like we've heard of some preachers in years gone by that made a certain statement, and they hadn't been studying the topic for some time. And two men that were known all across the country adhered to that. They gave credence to it. 2 weeks later, they said they were wrong. But how many people never heard them say that they were wrong? How many people thought that they still gave credits to this thing? Can't remember just what it was, but it was critical spiritually. So sometimes if we're not too sure or we haven't been studying, you better not say anything until we've looked it up, until we've checked it, because we might say something and others hear it and never hear that we've corrected ourselves. And then two, a note here is to undoubtedly Elijah had expected a great revival, wouldn't you? After you'd come down and God had done this, had destroyed the offering, accepted it, and then they destroyed all of the enemies of the cross, if you will. There was no cross at that day, but it was a picture, a type of it. They were destroyed. So certainly he was looking for a great revival. He was not prepared to face apparent failure of the mission. On the surface, it looked like it had failed. How many times has a preacher spoken and it looked like there was nothing? Or you witnessed to someone and there was no acceptance on the surface. And years later, you younger ones haven't got the years yet, but even then you may have run into some instances like it. You hear that that person got saved. And you were one link in that chain. And then we find how different our Master, shining in perfection, though he was rejected. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in all of his perfection, as far as the world was concerned, even to this day, is rejected. And he's the Master of the universe, our Savior. So for all of this, she saw the truth, she rejected it. And when you deliberately reject something, friend, you are in dangerous ground. Then, down in verse 3. This is Elijah speaking of Elijah now. And when he saw that, what's that say? When he saw it. That's sight, not faith. He wasn't trusting. It was something he saw or heard with his ears or with his seen with his eyes. That he arose and went for his life. Boy, what a difference. After standing up to all these men and the king and the nation. And he runs for fear of a woman. But we can look around us today, and if you're observant, you can see the fear or the power that women yield. Maybe not always out in the open, but they're pulling the reins of government, businesses, and we just see a big businesswoman going down now. They carry more power than many people realize. He ran for his life. It says, I got a little note here, not for God, nor the people, nor for the, almost need my magnifying glass there, the testimony of God. No, he ran for his own life. Now, you know, when it comes to battle or fighting, particularly the men and the family, it's our responsibility to see that the family's taken care of and protected. Now, some of you might think that, well, the policeman can do everything. The policeman can't do anything. The policeman can't do a thing until after the fact, till after the crime has been committed. If he happens to be there, it might stop the crime, whatever it might be. But the criminal is afraid of having his hands laid on or being caught. But even if you get on the phone and call 911, and there's a criminal there, the chances of the policeman getting there in time is rather slim, friend. Now, for the men and the women as well, when it comes to the defense of their home, they're to defend it. Now, if that home or family is in jeopardy because of their testimony for Christ, we're not to be foolish, but who are we to rely on for our defense? The Lord Himself. Somehow, some way, He will take care of it. And out of it all, He'll be glorified. You and I, if we try to do, Abraham tried, didn't he? And look at the mess we've got right to this day. He didn't listen to God. God said that he and Sarah would have a child. And then Sarah, she come along with her ideas of how we can have a child. We're too old to have a child. But we'll still have an heir. They had an arrow, right? And we're still paying for it. All right? When he saw it, he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belonged to Judah, and left his servant there. I'd like to look at a few verses in James 5. James 5. In verse 17, I believe. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Now, he may be a man of like passions such as we are, but I dare say there's none of us that carry the power that he had. Now I lost my pay of place. I got it. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough now, O Lord," or Jehovah, "take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, behold, an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." He had no idea that he was going to live for another 20 years. And what else? He didn't die. Another man didn't die. And who was that? Enoch. And when it mentions the two prophets in the New Testament, I think one of them is mentioned as Moses and the other Elijah. I actually believe it's those two men. The only two men of Old Testament that didn't die. The one walked with God and was not. The other was taken up in the fiery chariot. Now we don't know. That's just my speculation. But it says the soul that sinneth, it shall die. They didn't die. Those others that won't die will be those that are here when the Lord comes himself. Another verse, Proverbs. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. Most people say pride goeth before a fall, but it's pride goeth before destruction. And in haughty spirit before a fall. Very similar. But pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And another verse in Hebrews 12, and I think most of us here should be able to quote it. Hebrews 12, and the second verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How many of us would be willing to die for a brother or sister right here? Let alone go to the cross of Calvary. Just the physical end of it. We have no idea the spiritual and mental end of it was for Christ. We see it on the cross when he cried, Eli, lama sabachthani. But Christ knew before this earth was created that he was going to go through that. And we find in Abraham and Isaac, and they too went together, and they too went together twice over. Once is important, twice is far more important. It's a picture of God the Father and God the Son wending their way down through history, Mount Moriah, to the cross, to Calvary. An angel touched him and said unto him, Rise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came a second time and touched him and said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And verse 8, And he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that food, 40 days and 40 nights, unto Horeb, the Mount of God. I think it was more than just a normal meal. There was far more to it than just sitting down and having a meal. Very possibly it was special, what would we say, vitamins, etc. He had the needed strength in that one meal that he went 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us would have been dead or unconscious. The case of the Lord, he went 40 days and 40 nights. But remember something else. The Lord Jesus Christ was what? The perfect man. The sinless man. He couldn't die until he allowed himself to be slain. Satan couldn't touch him. He's the only one in history of this world. Once he was born into this world, could have gone directly to heaven. Now Adam and Eve might have if they had the power prior to the sin. They didn't have the power. This was very God himself. And then we find a little question was put to him in verse 9. And he came there unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, What doest thou here, Elijah? Someone else had a word like that put to him. Why sleepest thou?
Who was it? Jonah. The ship was in peril, in a tremendous storm about to sink. Everybody was praying to his God. They had thrown everything off the ship, and here's Jonah down in the bowels of the ship sleeping. Why sleepest thou? And in this case, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, or very, what would the term be? Anxious, very determined for the things of the Lord, on fire for the things of the Lord, for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and I seek my life to take it away. How many times have we witnessed to someone about their soul's need of salvation? And they just, at times it looks like maybe they're going to accept. And then they just walk away with a cold shoulder and hear nothing of it again. Time after time after time. But we don't know. Some of those that we've spoken to still may be saved. We may not just be that last link that speaks to them. But it's our duty to give a tract out, speak a word to them, a word of warning, a word of encouragement. It might just take a little word. It might just take one verse of Scripture. I've known of others that have given verse after verse after verse to an individual, and it just didn't seem to sink in. One more verse, and that was the verse that did it. But we're to be faithful in season and out of season at all times. And I've done it. I think we've all done it from time to time. Another time might be better. This may not be the appropriate time. Well, if they hadn't been spoken to, they might never have been spoken to again. Just thinking about that, I can't think of the names. Husband was one. What was the black man's name? Sandy's husband. Anderson. They were up there when that, I didn't even think of that, circling from the earth, huh? You can't hear. The shuttle. they were having Bible readings every day. Bible, not just readings, they were having Bible studies. So Sandy's talking with Robin, made the statement that it's very possible that they were saved. There's no question that they heard the word of God. And the Jewish man was there too. And he made some statement that they had to do something for Israel. But he was not a practicing Jew. But he was loyal to his nation. But because of our brother in the Lord, he a commander or a colonel, husband? He was the pilot of the shuttle, and Anderson was some special scientist, but they were all pilots. They were having the Word of God given every day, every single day that they were up there. So that would, we'd have to say that they were what? In season and out of season. Too many of us would have been in a position like that. And our excuse would be, we're so busy. So many things that have to be done. So many things have to be observed. If I miss this or miss that, well, if the Lord's hand is, it doesn't make any difference. But we're to be faithful to Himself. I'd like to look at Romans, the 11th chapter. Romans 11. Verses 2 and 3. God hath not cast away his people, whom he foreknew.
Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and dug down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. The Lord knew you that those 7,000 had never bowed the knee nor kissed the idol. But he also knows something else. He knows whether an individual is going to trust him as their Savior. When I was as young as most of the young ones here, even I was married and had children. My concern was about those that died outside of Christ and had heard the gospel time and time again. If they had been left, they might have gotten saved. No. The Lord knows the end from the beginning, and he knows whether that individual would have ever trusted Christ. So we might be more thankful that they did die at the age they did. If they were outside of Christ and never would trust Christ, it were far better for them. They had far less they had to answer for. And there will be differences. You remember when the Lord was speaking about Capernaum? Capernaum was essentially his center of operations. More miracles were done there and around there than any other one place. And he said, if the miracles that had been done in Capernaum had been done in Sodom and Gomorrah, what did he say? They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Now, isn't that a shame? And you know what Sodom and Gomorrah was known for? What our country is turning into today. All the gay rights and all the rest of it. When those men of the city said, let us know these two men that came in. They were angels. They didn't know it. The know means to know in a carnal manner. Sexually. As a queer. And if you remember, the angels reached out and grabbed Lot and dragged him in and struck all the people blind. That could give us another picture. They were eternally struck blind as to their welfare. And then we find as he left, what happened? His wife looked back. Where was her heart? Her heart was in that city. But we read in another place that the actions of the people of that city vexed Lot's heart. But what was a righteous man doing there? Next week's lesson, that's the one I studied the most for. We find that the king rubbed shoulders with the other king too much. And he said, we are as you, our people. Our horses are like your horses. We're one. They're out of the same family, granted. But the one had gone one way from God, the other as a unit. Most of the kings of Israel, well, all of the kings of Israel, were ungodly men. Most of the kings of Judah were good men. No different than us. Now granted, some of them went on their face, but they are like passion, like ourselves, but on the whole, they were for God and His truth. You and I are in the same similar position. The more we rub shoulders with the world as buddy-buddy, oh, we'll buddy-buddy them into the kingdom of God. Don't you believe that? You witness to them the way you should, and you'll see just how much some of them will be buddy-buddy. They'll walk away from you. They don't want to hear that. And some of them might even actually tell you that. Let us look to the Word. Let us look to the Lord. Our loving Heavenly Father, again we thank Thee for being into Thy Word. We just trust that it has touched the hearts of each of us, speaker and hearer alike. We know that it is not the speaker's words that do the work. It is the very Word of God, as it's ministered by the Holy Spirit, and the truths that can be brought out from those words. We find that so many truths, there are primary teachings, and there are multitudes of other teachings, all to the glory of God. We think of each one here, we ask that thou shoot thy needed blessing on them. We thank thee that Wanda and the baby apparently have come through everything well. We just trust for their speedy recovery and upbuilding. We think too of others that are not here for one reason or another, but thou would shoot the needed blessing. We think of our brother Chuck Hubbard and how weak he's become. We think of the labor that has been placed upon Violet. We think also of Frances Schubert. We thank thee for a measure of recuperation that she might soon be in her own apartment before too long. We think of Johnny Hambright, and we pray that his profession was real. We just trust that thy will might be done in his life. We think of poor Thelma and thinking of the condition and the way that both boys have lived. The one evidently a fairly good life, but he has never made any profession whatsoever. We think of Thelma and Jesse, their advanced age. We think also of our dear sister Dora, again, the cancer situation. We think of our brother Harry and his mobility. We think of others that may be traveling at the moment. We think of David's sister again. We trust that she has had a safe journey home. We think of her husband overseas, that thou would guide and direct and keep his hand over him, that he might be kept safe. We think of God's people, many of the Lord's dear people that are in these places of harm's way, that the God of our lives will care and take care of them. Now we ask that thou would be with each of us, take us all to our several homes in safety. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen.